Welcome to Lightning Bug, a celebration of grassroots progressive politics in rural Pennsylvania. We stand for the protection of all people, the environment, and the rights enshrined in our Constitution. We support an informed citizenry and equal opportunity for all to achieve the American dream. We as constituents will hold our elected officials accountable. We are committed to equality, inclusion, acceptance, and fairness. We are lights in the night. We are hope for our future. We are not alone. We are Lightning Bug. Hello and welcome. I'm so glad to be here. I'm Dwayne Heisler and
I'm Jessica Britton, and we are your co-hosts for Lightning Bug.
Lightning Bug, yay. How you doing, Jess?
I'm not too bad, Dwayne. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, it seems to me, though, that we're always saying, boy, there's a lot going on this week. And
yeah, if we could say that just one week, that would be okay. But nope, it's every week.
There's a lot. We have a lot of local Pennsylvania news. Once again, Lightning Bug brings to you local political news. And when I say local, we're broadcasting from Columbia County, Pennsylvania,
yes.
Central Northeast Pennsylvania. But we also look at state issues. And my gosh, when things are so crazy on a national level, it's so easy to miss what happens on a state level.
It is. It's hard to keep track of everything that's going on.
It really is. And of course, there's all this madness. Today's Wednesday, April 18th. And of course, there was all kinds of national news with Cohen's raid and Comey's book and the circus that was happening at the hearing.
Mafia-style craziness that's going on.
The fixer and the prostitute. And I mean,
yeah, you got your fixers, you got your prostitutes, you got your Sean Hannity's hanging out there.
We should be selling popcorn.
We should.
I mean, so what's been happening locally? There has been a lot going on. And I just want to revisit once again, because we spent the last segment talking about it, about the Medicaid bill and the SNAP bill that was requiring work requirements, basically. And so that was the Medicaid one was House Bill 2138. And sadly, this week, 2 days ago, maybe,
yesterday, 17th.
That's right. Yesterday, it passed the House. It was expected to do that. It was along party lines.
Of course.
Yeah, of course, because this is an election year.
It's always an election year, so.
Yeah, so once again, that's not a very good piece of legislation. It does the exact opposite. It hurts people. It hurts the state. Hurts taxpayers.
It is cloaked in stereotypes about people who get Medicaid benefits being lazy and not wanting to work and all of those other things where usually that is not the case.
No, over 75% of everyone who receives either Medicaid or SNAP actually have jobs. Something that would really help would be raising our minimum wage to a point where they can support themselves.
Definitely. And when the goal is stated as to help people get access legitimately, but that actually takes away access to healthcare, it's really hard to see the logic in passing a bill like this.
So these two bills were progressing together, but they got a little split up. The SNAP bill, which is, and SNAP, by the way, is just another name for welfare. It's, or food stamps,
I guess.
Nutrition
assistance program.
Thank you. Yeah, a supplemental nutrition assistance program. It's House Bill 1659, and that got out of committee last week, and it was introduced in the House, but it wasn't on the floor.
Yeah,
there was
it's kind of been tabled for right now.
I think maybe, I thought they were going to run these together. Maybe they're rethinking this about, let's see if we can get the Medicaid through first in terms of getting it to the Senate. And at this point, we don't know what the Senate's going to do with it, but we're in the middle of contacting all of our legislators, and you should do so as well, because this just hurts everyone. and feeds that narrative of poor people are lazy and that's not what this is about. Definitely. So many people are actually receiving some of this assistance because they're taking care of sick family members or elderly, or they're making minimum wage and looking for other jobs. How about some job training? That might be something that could help.
Job training would definitely help.
Or in those areas where we have high unemployment, to have maybe some public sector jobs created there to help with that unemployment rate, instead of just ignoring it and kicking them to the curb like this does. So we just wanted to give you an update on those two bills.
Yes, and how that's progressing. So
yeah,
keep contacting your legislators, because if it's out of the House, so it will have to move to the Senate, so we can shift for the Medicaid portion of that to the Senate.
So Jessica, maybe you can tell me a little bit about House Bill 2050, which is called the Down Syndrome Protection Legislation. So what would you think a title of a bill like that, the Down Syndrome Protection Legislation, what do you think that would be all about?
Well, Dwayne, in theory, the Down Syndrome Protection Act or legislation or whatever we're calling it would be some sort of policy that would help those with Down syndrome and help families taking care
right.
of children with Down syndrome, and to maybe ease the burdens on their time and their financial situation and all of those things.
That sounds really good.
It does sound really good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm thinking that it's not actually for those purposes. This bill is presented as a protection against those with disabilities, while it ends up being a disguised Pennsylvania state legislature abortion ban yet again.
All right. So how do you turn the Down Syndrome Protection Act or legislation into a anti-abortion bill?
Well, if you're the Pennsylvania State Assembly, then it's super easy to do, because they found a way to do this with so many other bills. And it's really quite sad that all they're focused on is finding ways to restrict women's abilities to make their own decisions. So basically what this bill would do would be to criminalize those women who make decisions based on whether they want to carry a pregnancy to term following genetic testing and amniocentesis and determining whether or not there's a possibility that a fetus may carry the markers for Down syndrome. So this would...
But wasn't there some, actually at one point of the bill, wasn't there something in there for Down syndrome?
There were. There were amendments that would have actually helped families that are dealing with this and whose kids have Down syndrome and would have, eased those burdens on them. But those amendments are all gone.
They strip those out.
Strip them out.
So it doesn't help them at all.
Does not help them
so
at all.
So there's no protections provided to the Down syndrome protection legislation.
No, not at all. So, it's almost as though this was the plan all along. It's
right.
crazy to think that.
Right.
Where you have families who have children with Down syndrome and who understand that there are choices that have to be made, who are advocating for not supporting this bill because it is so problematic.
So where is it now? It's passed the House, right?
It did pass the House. So this will
House
also...
Is crazy.
The House is pretty terrible, because this is the party of being, quote, pro-life, unquote, and, all about family values, but we won't do anything to help families as they move forward.
Now, at this point, we don't know what's happening in the Senate, but just a reminder for people listening of the political landscape, our Senate at this point is veto-proof. It's Republican. We have a Republican House
yes.
and a Republican Senate that's veto-proof. And so we don't know when that's going to be scheduled, or hopefully it won't see the light of day, but right now is when, once again, we need to call our legislators. It's
yeah.
like we're constantly calling. Aren't they getting tired of these calls,
you would think?
Right? But they keep... It's an election year,
so... we're tired of talking to them, but we'll keep doing it as long as we have
to. So bring up abortion, and once again, it's the policies of division, right?
Absolutely.
Like revisiting and revisiting and trying to do it in another way and revisiting it again. And once again, it's healthcare. So those are two... healthcare related, we have something else happening locally.
We do.
Healthcare. So this is kind of big news right now. One of the major healthcare providers in our region is Community Health Systems. They have about half a dozen hospitals in and around central and northeastern Pennsylvania. And for months, they have, the caregivers at Moses Taylor and First Hospital have been trying to negotiate with Community Health Systems because there's some real serious patient safety issues. And let me just explain what that's all about. You know, when you're working in a hospital and taking care of patients and you're in the middle of doing things like that and you're pulled to other areas of the hospital because of shortages of staff, or perhaps you never had proper training to begin with.
Right.
You know, there are all kinds of things that can go wrong. You know, what can go wrong, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a real problem with patient safety at these two facilities, documented issues. And sadly, CHS, the Community Health Systems, is pretty much not responded to all these months of trying to negotiate and get the training and to take care of proper staffing and to make sure that the shifts are respected and these kind of things. And so they've ignored those. And so April 25th, which is next Wednesday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Next Wednesday, there's going to be at Moses Taylor and at First Hospital at noon at both facilities, one's in Scranton, one's in Kingston. There's going to be community rallies where we can join care workers there and let them know that they have some support for doing things right and not putting profits ahead of patient safety.
Absolutely. And you know, you look at it from really any perspective and wonder how is it beneficial in any way other than strictly in a dollar sense to keep these healthcare providers from having the training that they need,
right,
to having shifts that aren't too long and you know, just really overbearing, and to not have those sorts of really basic job protections that they should have. You know, as someone, you know, anybody who goes to a hospital, you hope that your nurses and that the aides are all properly trained.
Right, right.
Are not sleep deprived because right. They've been working, you know, a truly ridiculous number of hours, and that they're getting compensated for what they're doing, because it takes a really special kind of person to be in these fields.
There's a lot of caregivers, however, and you know, this is the opposite of maybe what you might think about. So there are quite a number of caregivers that make very low wages, incredibly low wages, and I don't think that's right. They're caring for us.
Absolutely.
They're caring for our family members. They're caring for our parents and our children.
And it's shameful if they're not being compensated the way that they should be.
So in addition to the rallies, which are happening both at Moses Taylor in Scranton and First Hospital in Kingston at noon on April 25th, there's also going to be a candlelight vigil for patient safety at the Courthouse Square in downtown Scranton, and that's at 6 o'clock. So that should be quite an event there. And once again, the community is coming out to support both facilities and trying to make sure that we put patients before profits.
Absolutely. You know, these people end up being the heart and soul of these medical facilities, and without them, they will not function. So it's good for all of us to show them our support.
So that's some more news on the healthcare front, but we've also had some other local news in Pennsylvania, right? With our representative to Congress, Charlie Dent, right?
Charlie Dent. Because the Pennsylvania congressional delegation can't seem to stay out of the news for any period of time. Here we are. Let's talk about, why are we talking about Charlie Dent, Wayne?
Well, we're talking about Charlie Dent because he had earlier announced that he was not going to run again,
right,
and when his term was up. But apparently he's had other thoughts now that he wants to actually retire early.
Sure. There's so much retirement happening coming out of the U.S. House of Representatives.
Spend more time with his family again.
They all want to spend more time with their family.
I know, but here's the thing. You know, he does this and then he makes a statement, and maybe you know that statement better than I do, where he's kind of saying, well, go ahead.
Let me just read this verbatim because that will just show how hypocritical it is. So, Charlie Dent states, "I am especially proud of the work I have done to give voice to the sensible center in our country that is often overlooked and ignored. It is my intention to continue to aggressively advocate for responsible governance and pragmatic solutions in the coming years." That sounds good, right? Like, that sounds like a really good stance to take.
Right, right.
So here's one of the problems. He's leaving responsible governance and all that.
Right, responsible
governance.
He's
leaving in not the middle of his term, but well before his term is up, and has decided to leave Congress, quote, in the coming weeks, unquote.
Right.
No official date, no set timeline for the state to determine how the, if there's going to be, you know, a special election held, when that's going to be. And it's just the opposite of being a responsible legislator.
Or pragmatic, even.
Or pragmatic.
Mean, it's ridiculous because, first of all, that's going to be a huge cost to Pennsylvania.
Massive.
If Wolf has to schedule another special election prior to the election in November,
yeah,
because Charlie Dent just couldn't hang on to the to what he signed up for,
right,
to the job that needs to be done,
right,
there's nothing about good government in there that I can think of.
Not much.
Now,
no.
I also like, and it is true, there's no doubt, because, I mean, we all heard Charlie Dent be highly critical of the Trump administration,
yes,
and he, especially when it came to healthcare, so that's kind of related to what we were talking
definitely
about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's no question about him being the very rare, like almost to the point of extinction,
yeah,
the moderate Republican, right? In fact, I think that there should be some kind of like National Geographic special.
Absolutely.
Where we can catch them in the wild, like going down to the Oasis and drinking some water or something.
If you see a moderate Republican in its natural habitat, get a picture of them, because they're dropping like flies and they're almost extinct, just showing yet again that the Trump administration really doesn't care about any endangered species.
Oh, there we go. That's how you can tie that in. But I think the real point is it's such a disappointment because here you have someone who is is very well respected,
yes,
in Congress.
Yeah, on both sides.
On both
of
sides.
The aisle.
That's
yeah
true. And, but yet he's copping out like this. And so the rumors about this are, from what I've been reading, is that he has some kind of television deal or something like that.
Well, nothing says responsible governance like cable news.
There we go.
That is just,
I could very easily see him being
opposite of being helpful, if that is. Now, again, these are rumors. We don't have any of that confirmed. He did not give an actual
And he's
reason.
Been spending time on CNN and MSNBC.
Yes.
I've seen him there. I don't know how much he's on Fox. I
couldn't tell you.
I don't know.
Probably not much, because he's a moderate Republican. They may not want him.
We'll have to see. Yeah, I don't know. But he is one of the go-tos, I think, for
yes
media in general to talk to about the craziness that goes on in D.C.
Right.
So, but yeah, so that's just so disappointing. So what does it, so according from what I understand is that once Dent actually submits his official resignation,
okay,
which he hasn't done yet.
Right.
Because he hasn't set a time.
It's all in the coming weeks.
Then the governor has a responsibility within 10 days, I believe, to set up the date for a special election, and
right,
it cannot be, it has to be longer than 60 days.
Right.
So that would put it way up behind the primary.
Sure.
So it kind of
yeah
makes sense.
We're less than a month out from the primary.
So it kind of makes sense to have, if you're going to have a special election, to do one after the primary so you know who the candidates are in that district. And you might end up
yeah
with another situation where the candidates have to run
and then
5 months later have to run
again,
which is absurd. And in the meanwhile, that's costing Pennsylvania taxpayers.
Costing Pennsylvania taxpayers a lot.
So I don't know what the rules are. Like, it can't be within that 60 days. It has to be longer. Like, could
right
the governor, and I'm not sure, like, schedule it for the general election like that will
November,
be when it
right
will be. But then, you know what? Then people are going to be critical because that district is not going to have representation during that time.
Right.
You know, this whole situation is really created around the whims of Charlie Dent.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm going to be your rep. Now I'm not going to be a rep. Now I'm going to quit. You know, it just...
Yeah. And just flies in the face of his statement and the importance of responsible governance. Like, he made a commitment to not only those who voted for him, but to every single person in his district that he would serve this term.
I'm sorry, this is a waffle.
I think you're right.
The chicken and waffles. You know, we do that segment on chicken and waffles. This is definitely a waffle. I'm going to serve. I'm not going to serve.
Yeah.
I'm going to serve till the end. Well, now I'm leaving early, you know.
Right.
And now he's not giving a date.
And the question there is, like, is it some chicken as well? Because why is he leaving? We don't know. And that's the thing. And that's the problem. This has put such a big question mark over the whole 15th district, which includes Allentown. Like, this is not
Bethlehem,
a small
Easton
area.
And finally, they grouped that metro area together all under one district, which makes sense because those three
so
cities work
sense.
Together. They share transportation systems. They're so close. Medical systems.
Yeah.
It just makes sense for them to all be together.
Yeah, you're looking at a whole, you know, metropolitan region in Pennsylvania. You know, Allentown isn't a huge city, but it's a city. And with a big question mark over the whole thing.
You know what I'm thinking? I know. You're like, oh, no. I'm thinking we need one of those dinner triangles. Whenever we have a match of chicken and waffles, we could bring the triangle.
Oh, that would be kind
of nice.
Wouldn't
that be kind of fun? We have to figure out where to hang that here.
Stay tuned, Lightning Bug listeners.
Right? Yeah, we're going to hear the dinner bell. It's like, I think I hear chicken and waffles like coming up. I think that's what's happening.
That'll be great.
Yeah,
we'll have to get that.
It's really tough. This puts us in a terrible position. It puts Governor Wolf in a tough position. Now, Wolf had nice things to say about,
He did. And I think that that's valid. But I think, you know, as you mentioned already, no matter what Wolf does as the governor, he's going to be criticized, you know, all because of this decision that Charlie Dent has made. And that's just really unfortunate.
So I'm thinking about the Millennial Minute, and I think I want to go back to talking about the strike because it's healthcare and it's work, and what do you think about, like, how, like, we have this strike coming up and we have millennials that are, you know, in the workforce and looking for good jobs, and what does this mean?
Well, I think it all gets tied together, and you know, you mentioned as well Charlie Dent being critical of the Trump administration's healthcare policies. But, you know, healthcare is where millennials are told, enter the workforce,
right,
join the healthcare field. There are always work opportunities. In a rural area, that is one of the biggest job providers. I mean, in any area, but especially in a rural area where there are less economic opportunities.
Well, sure. I mean, gosh, if you, in some of our small towns in central Pennsylvania, if you got rid of the hospital,
oh my goodness,
there wouldn't be anything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the largest employer.
I mean, you look at, we're doing this out of, you know, Bloomsburg, but look at Bloomsburg and Danville right here. Danville would be wiped off the map if it
was not for Geisinger. Yes.
So, you know, you look at places like this. So when you see healthcare providers, you know, not being treated the way that they should be treated, not getting the proper training that they need. I mean the providers who are in the rooms with the patients.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Not the hospitals, because the hospitals are making bank. The insurance companies are making bank.
Right.
And the people who are actually doing the work and caring for the patients,
the caregivers,
are not being paid properly, are not being trained properly, and are not being treated the way that they should be treated when they're working. And that is really a deterrent for many people for entering those fields, you know, where everyone says, oh, enter the healthcare field. The healthcare field is always growing. If you aren't going to be treated well as an employee, that's not motivating.
I've been to a vigil recently up in that area, and I got to hear some people who are, you know, health caregivers and talking about their job and to the point of tears, like thinking about their patients and how much they care for them. And in fact, at the hospital, there were some of the patients that were putting up signs in their windows, you know, saying we support you and thank you. It's so moving. And these people that are our health caregivers are, I mean, they have amazing hearts. Like they go through some really tough stuff.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know how they do it. I mean,
it really does take a special kind of person to do that work. I couldn't do it. I know that I couldn't do it.
I don't think
hats off.
I'm sorry. I don't think anyone sits back and thinks, I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to go change bedpans. Or I'm, you know, like this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to, you know,
that enters into it.
But I mean, it's when you talk to these people and you talk about their shifts that they're running and how, you know, they're going on these many hours straight and they haven't had a break and they're worn down and it's just. It's heartbreaking.
It is
heartbreaking. And yet they're doing heartbreaking work too. They pour their selves into these things and you know, into their work and you know, have to keep on saying that they're there for a higher purpose, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they shouldn't be taken for granted by their employers.
So in that respect, I can see where there are quite a number of millennials that might say, you know what, this is the field for me.
Yeah.
I'm a caring person. Mm-hmm. I think that that's doing, you know, great good, that kind of thing. And so it's really distressing when you hear that the work conditions, you know, that they have.
Yeah, and the least we can do at this point is get out and support them in these efforts because it affects all of us. It doesn't just affect, you know, those who would be going on strike. It affects everyone.
Right. So so we covered a lot, actually, in a short period of time. We talked about the Medicaid bill, that 2138 in the House bill, and how that looks like it's going to the Senate. It passed the House.
Yes.
We have the SNAP bill, which is somewhere in the House now, but got out of the Health Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked about the Down syndrome protection legislation, which is just
an
abortion bill.
Yeah,
and that is so disappointing too, which did pass the House.
It did pass
and
the
is
House.
Going to the Senate. And then we talked about the strike, which we just, you know, mentioned again with Community Health Systems and Moses Taylor up in Scranton and First Hospital in Kingston, and how they could use our support. And then we moved on to the rare, like, you know, nearly extinct moderate Republican, what Charlie Dent decided to do.
In the wild.
His chicken and waffle routine and what's happening there. Do you think we'll have a busy week next week?
I mean, so far, I'm going to go with, judging by how it's gone the last couple of weeks, I'm going to go with yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
Who knows?
It's like never ending,
who
right?
Who knows? Sometimes these days seem like a whole week, so you just never know what's going to happen next. But in the meantime, call your legislators, call your legislators, call your legislators.
Yeah, that's what we need to do.
Absolutely.
So, that was Lightning Bug. We are lights in the night. We are not alone. What else are we? I forget our intro.
We hope for our future.
Let's hope for our future. Yeah, so thank you for joining us at Lightning Bug, and we look forward to chatting with you next week from Central Pennsylvania.